Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Elbit Systems' fourth quarter and full year 2017 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact Elbit's Investor Relations team at GK Investor and Public Relations at 1-646-688-3559, or view it in the news section of the company's website at www.elbitsystems.com. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Kenny Green of GK Investor Relations. Kenny, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, and good day. On behalf of all the investors, I would like to thank Elbit Systems management for hosting this call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Betzalel Bussi-Machlis, Elbit's President and CEO, and Mr. Yossi Gaspar, Elbit Systems' Chief Financial Officer. Yossi will begin by providing a discussion of the financial results for the fourth quarter and full year of 2017, followed by Bussi, who will talk about some of the highlights and significant events during the quarter and beyond. We will then turn the call over to the question-and-answer session. Before we begin, I would like to point out that the safe harbor statement in the company's press release issued earlier today also refers to the contents of this conference call. With that, I would now like to hand the call over to Yossi. Yossi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kenny. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As we do every quarter, we will provide you with both our regular GAAP financial data as well as certain supplemental non-GAAP information. You can find all the detailed GAAP financial data as well as the non-GAAP information and reconciliation in today's press release. Overall, we are pleased with our performance in 2017 as well as the fourth quarter. In particular, we believe the strong growth in our backlog as well as the increased portion of the long-term projects within the backlog sets up well not only for the coming years but also for the longer term. I will now highlight and discuss some of the key figures and trends in our financial results. Our fourth quarter 2017 revenues crossed the $1 billion revenue mark for the first time in our history, reaching $1,009.6, compared with $953.7 million reported in the fourth quarter of 2016, up 5.9% year-over-year. For 2017 as a whole, our revenues were $3.38 billion versus $3.26 billion last year, representing a growth of approximately 3.7%. In terms of revenue breakdown across our areas of operation in the quarter, Airborne Systems was 37%, C4ISR was 33%, Land Systems was 16%, Electro-Optics 9%, and the rest was 5%. Compared with the fourth quarter of last year, sales as a percentage of revenues of our main areas of operation were similar to those as of the fourth quarter last year, with a slight increase in Airborne and Land Systems sales and a slight decrease in C4ISR and Electro-Optics sales. In terms of geographic breakdown for the quarter, we continue to be fairly evenly diversified between the various regions in which we operate, with North America at 24% of revenues, Europe at 23%, Israel at 23%, Asia-Pacific at 16%, Latin America at 4%, and the rest of the world at 10%. Compared with the fourth quarter last year, we saw a lower contribution from Latin America and Asia-Pacific, a slight increase in Israel, and increased sales to the rest of the world, mainly due to increased Electro-Optics sales. Looking at 2017 as a whole, we saw increased contribution from Land Systems and Electro-Optics and lower contribution for C4ISR. Geographically, in 2017, our revenues were fairly diversified between North America, Asia-Pacific, Europe, and Israel, all between 20%-25%. Compared with last year, we saw increased contribution from Europe and a decreased contribution from Asia-Pacific. For the fourth quarter, the non-GAAP gross margin was 28.6% versus 30.3% in the fourth quarter of 2016. Our GAAP gross margin was 28.1% versus 29.4% last year. For the full year of 2017, gross margins were at similar levels to those of last year. Non-GAAP gross margin was 30.2% versus 30.4% last year. GAAP gross margin was 29.5% versus 29.4% last year. The fourth quarter non-GAAP operating income grew 14% to $110.5 million, or 10.9% of revenues, compared with $97.3 million, or 10.2% of revenues last year. GAAP operating income increased by 18% to $103.6 million, or 10.3% of revenues, versus $87.5 million, or 9.2% of revenues last year. For 2017 as a whole, non-GAAP operating income grew 8% to $347.9 million, or 10.3% of revenues, compared with $322.5 million, or 9.9% of revenues last year. GAAP operating income grew 7% to $319.3 million, or 9.5% of revenues, versus $299 million, or 9.2% of revenues last year. During 2016, we had other income of approximately $17.6 million, which we do not include in our non-GAAP results. This was due to gains from two of our commercial venture subsidiaries in energy and automotive areas following a round of outside investments. In terms of our GAAP expenses for the quarter, total operating expenses were 17.8% of revenues, compared with 20.3% of revenues in the fourth quarter of last year. The operating expense breakdown in the quarter was as follows. Net R&D expenses at 7.2% of revenues versus 7% last year. Marketing and selling expenses at 8% of revenues versus 9.3% last year. And G&A expenses at 2.6% of revenues versus 3.9% last year. For the full year, operating expenses were generally similar to those of last year, other than for the G&A, which was lower. Operating expenses amounted to 20.1% of revenues in 2017, compared with 20.3% last year. The breakdown was net R&D expenses at 7.8% of revenues, similar to last year. Marketing and selling expenses were at 8.3% of revenues, similar to last year. And G&A expenses at 3.9% of revenues versus 4.6% last year. I note that during 2017, and particularly during the fourth quarter, we had a significant decrease in G&A expenses as a result of a reevaluation of liabilities related to assets and activities acquired in prior years. Financial expenses for the fourth quarter of 2017 were $9.7 million, compared with financial expenses of $9.2 million in the fourth quarter of last year. In 2017, our financial expenses were $34.5 million, compared with $23.7 million last year. Financial expenses in 2017 were relatively high, mainly due to losses from exchange rate differences. In 2017, financial expenses were relatively low, due to gains from various currencies' exchange rates. Taxes in the fourth quarter were $25.4 million, or 27.1% pre-tax income, versus $9.8 million, or 12.5% pre-tax income in the fourth quarter of last year. For the year, taxes were $55.6 million, or 19.5% of pre-tax income, versus $45.6 million, or 16.3% pre-tax income. The higher level of tax in the fourth quarter was primarily due to a recent change in U.S. tax regulations, whereby there was a one-time reduction in our deferred tax assets amounting to $10.9 million. Note that this non-cash expense is excluded under our non-GAAP results. We will benefit from the recent changes in the U.S. tax law in the upcoming years. For the fourth quarter, non-GAAP net income was $86.1 million, or a net margin of 8.5%, versus $77.7 million, or a net margin of 8.2% last year. Non-GAAP diluted earnings per share were $2.01 compared with $1.82 last year, an increase of 10%. On a GAAP basis, fourth quarter net income was $69.4 million, or a net margin of 6.9%, versus $67.1 million, or a net margin of 7% last year. GAAP diluted earnings per share were $1.62 compared with $1.57 last year. For 2017 as a whole, non-GAAP net income was $273.9 million, or a net margin of 8.1%, versus $254.2 million, or a net margin of 7.8% last year. Non-GAAP diluted earnings per share were $6.41 compared with $5.95 last year, an increase of 8%. On a GAAP basis, full year of 2017 net income was $239.1 million, or a net margin of 7.1%, versus $236.9 million, or a net margin of 7.3% last year. GAAP diluted earnings per share were $5.59 compared with $5.54 last year. Our backlog of orders as of December 31st, 2017 was $7.64 billion, $738 million higher than the backlog at the end of the fourth quarter of 2016, representing an increase of 10.7%. Approximately 65% of the current backlog is scheduled to be performed during 2018 and 2019, and 35% of the current backlog is scheduled for 2020 and beyond. The ratio, as at the same quarter end last year, was 68% and 32% respectively. Hence, the backlog has become slightly more longer term, which provides us with a stability long view. Operating cash flow for the quarter was a positive of $240.9 million compared with a positive cash flow of $239.5 million in the same quarter last year. For 2017 as a whole, we had a positive cash flow of $101 million versus $208 million last year. The cash flow reduction reflects an increase in receivables, partially due to longer payment terms to some customers in line with our market trends. The Board of Directors declared a dividend of 44 cents per share for the fourth quarter of 2017. In total, dividends paid per ordinary shares in 2017 were $1.76, 10% more than in 2016. That ends my summary, and I shall now turn over the call to Mr. Machlis, Elbit CEO. Butzi, please.
Thank you, Yossi. As Yossi mentioned, we are indeed pleased with our performance in 2017 and are well positioned for continued growth in 2018, underlying our confidence in the continued strong growth in backlog that we demonstrated again this quarter. It grew by 11% over last year, with a larger portion of the growth being in the longer-term part of the backlog. Even in the short term, covering the next 2 years, our backlog growth remained robust, growing almost 6% ahead of the pace we saw at the same time last year. The backlog is the metric which I believe is a strong indicator for the health of our businesses for the mid to long term. It continues to provide us with good revenue visibility into our businesses. As you know, we have been working hard to capitalize on the increased opportunities and positive momentum we are seeing in many of our end markets, especially in Europe and emerging regions. Our contract wins are the contributor to our backlog growth, and I would like to highlight some of the major wins that we announced in the past few months. In January, we were pleased to win a major $150 million contract with the Australian Department of Defense, which we believe will significantly enhance and strengthen our local support capabilities in in that region. The contract was to provide full life support services to the Southern Defense Force for the battle management system command and control. The contract was for 5-year period with optional extension of up to 7 years that can be exercised in the future. The contract represents our long-term commitment to the Australian Defence Forces digitization efforts. In January, we also awarded a 4-year, $85 million contract from an European customer for a range of advanced ground-based electronic warfare and signal intelligence systems. We are encouraged by the growing demand for our solutions from many countries in Europe, and we see robust defense spending in this region for the foreseeable future. Earlier in December of last year, our U.S. subsidiary won a $25 million contract for 1 year with potential value of multi-year extensions amounting up to $176 million from Dynacorp International. The contract was to provide life cycle contractor support for the U.S. Army's C-26 and UC-35 fleet of weapons. This contract reinforced our U.S. market position as the leading provider for life cycle support for airborne platforms. Furthermore, we also received a follow-on 4-year, $46 million contract to supply JMUSIC direct infrared countermeasure self-protection system to NATO for its Airbus A330 multinational multi-role tanker transport fleet program. And finally, in Israel, we won a $74 million contract with the Israeli Minister of Defense for flight simulator for the upgraded C-130H and C-130J transport aircraft of the Israeli Air Force. We will be setting up and operating the IAS training center for these aircraft, providing two interconnected flight simulators that enable single and squadron training, and the ground crew simulator that enables high fidelity training of aircraft maintenance procedures. The contract is a long-term one over a 13-year period, which includes the setup phase of approximately 3 years and then further 10-year operating period. Earlier this month, the Israeli Treasury Ministry announced the approval of its committee for sale of IMI systems to Elbit. We are continuing the discussions with the government regarding the conditions to complete the acquisition. Elbit remains diversified in all the major world regions. In many of our target geographical defense spending is on the rise, while at the same time, electronic defense spending is getting a greater portion of the overall defense budget. As always, Elbit remains very well positioned to continue to capitalize and build on the trends. And with that, I will be happy to take your questions.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. First question is from Yoav Bergen of Poalim Sahar. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Yossi. Hi, Butzi. I have two or three questions. First one, I guess it's for you, Yossi. If I look at the backlog at the end of Q4, so obviously on a year-over-year basis, it reflects a significant growth. But if I look at it on a quarter-over-quarter basis, it seems to have stagnated. So is this something that I can assume temporary or significant? Because, you know, given the orders that came in since the beginning of this year, would it be prudent to assume that the backlog growth has resumed?
No, I would say the following. If you look at the structure of the backlog, and we did address that in our press release, actually, The total backlog has grown close to 11%, actually 10.6 or something like that. However, the near-term backlog, that means the backlog to be transformed in revenues during 2018 and 19, has grown about 6%. That means the backlog is a little bit longer term, which gives us a good view for stability. So it is correct that the backlog in the last quarter has grown marginally only. But please keep in mind that we had over $1 billion of revenues. That means we did receive more than over a billion dollar of new business in the last quarter. So bottom line is that for the near term, that means the 18 and 19, the backlog has grown about 6%, in total close to 11%. So we do see ground for future growth in the revenue in the quarters to come.
Okay, good, Yossi. Thank you. That's helpful. My second question is on Sultan, on the Atmos artillery system, and on the Israeli Ministry of Defense on the Gidon multi-year program. This has the potential to be a very significant boost to your backlog. Do you currently anticipate that this will be realized within the current year?
First, we are very proud of the decision which was taken by the Israeli Modi and was approved last week by the cabinet to acquire new howitzers from the IDF, from Elbit system. And we are working together with the Minister of Defense to conclude the contract. I hope it will happen soon, and you're right, there's a lot of potential for this program for Elbit. And in parallel, I would like to mention that we are continuing to deliver advanced artillery systems from our land division, which includes Sultan, part of it, to many customers around the globe. So we see a lot of growth potential for artillery systems, advanced, long-range, accurate, artillery systems as part of an overall fire support solutions for many customers around the globe, including Israel.
Okay, good. And Butzi, my last question, if I may, is on IMI, on the IMI transaction. I think there's a bit of a discrepancy. Today in the Tel Aviv conference that you held, I understood that the issues, that the remaining issues are pretty much issues that are out of your reach, out of your control, antitrust stuff and things like that. And then when I look at your report today, you mentioned that you're continuing the discussions with the Israeli government regarding the conditions to complete the transaction. So I guess my question is, are there remaining commercial discussions between you and the government on the price, on the deal structure, or just regulatory issues?
No, there are no major commercial subjects to be discussed. Actually, most of the subjects were concluded already. There are some procedural activities which still need to be done, and of course we need to get the approval of the antitrust authority.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Eitan Etzioni of Etzioni Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to ask, what do you see the potential contribution of TAS, and do you see a significant expense of for retiring workers, and how long do you think it will take to bring TAS up to the profitability that Elbit is used to?
That's a complicated subject to cover in with a few sentences. However, I will say that we see a lot of synergies between Elbit and IMI. I'll just mention three of them. IMI has a very strong and advanced line of artillery rockets, long-range artillery, precise long-range artillery rockets. Elbit brings advanced ISR solutions, reconnaissance, surveillance, and command and control systems. Combining the two will enable us to provide a comprehensive solution and the operational solution for potential customers, and we see opportunities for that around the globe. The second area is around the munition. IMI are a leading provider of advanced ammunition, air-to-ground, ground-to-ground, different type of ammunition. Elbit brings advanced electronics. Combining the two create a strong, precise ammunition portfolio, and we see a lot of demand for precision around the globe to avoid collateral damage. And we believe that combining the two portfolios together will enable us to bring very advanced solutions to the market. And the last area is around platforms. We have systems for ground platforms, mainly sites, fire control system, target system, life support system, communication, command and control solutions. IMI brings different type of protection solutions, reactive and active systems, very advanced, very modern, very attractive, active advanced protecting solutions. They do also barrels. They do additional elements on the chassis. And combining our activities with their activities will enable us to bring very advanced solutions for customers for ground platforms. These are just three examples of synergies between the two companies. Now, of course, it will take us time to combine capabilities and to combine capabilities between IMI and Elbit. But I believe we have the tender process actually gave IMI a strong portfolio, a strong backlog, which will give us enough time to reorganize the portfolio, to invest in R&D, to bring the current portfolio as well as the future market, as well as the future portfolio to the market via our marketing network, which is, as you know, very advanced. And I'm sure that it will be a very successful acquisition, similar to the ones we made in the past. And I would like to mention Elispa, which we acquired several years ago, which at the beginning was not in a good shape. Today, it's a very good company. The same goes with Sultan. So we know how to combine companies, and I'm sure that we are aiming mainly to the international market. I'm sure that we'll be able to bring export contracts to Israel, to Elbit, and to Sultan, which will be very important and good for Elbit employees, for IMI employees, for the Israeli economy, and for the security of the country.
Okay, thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
The next question is from Vineet Khera of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, thank you for taking up my questions. I've got a couple of them. My first question is, like, gross margin was higher than normal in 3Q and lower in 4Q both the times due to product mix. Now, is this related to higher percentage of land sales in quarter, or how should we think about gross margins going forward?
Well, as you know, we do not give guidance on financial parameters. However, we did see in the last several years continuous improvement in our gross margin, starting from about 27.5% gross margin to reaching about over 30%. And now we have about 29.5% on average for the recent quarters and for the whole year. I think this is a result of quite a lot of effort that has been done in the company to reduce costs, to reduce overheads, to combine business, to combine activities, divisions, and production lines, and so on. For going forward, I would say these activities of reducing the cost basis of the company continue, and for a little bit longer term, they will be even enhanced by adopting the new ERP system that we are working on. However, we are also facing some challenges in 2018 regarding with strong shekels, which we took in account when we did prepare our budgets for 2018 and going forward. So, without giving you a specific guidance, I think that if you look back on what has happened in the last 4 to 6 quarters on average, that may be something that could be representative of the future.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, should we expect any more readjustments to assets impacting general and administrative, or is it all done in 2017 only?
This is a result on as an outcome of mergers and acquisition process when we occasionally have different views from the seller about the future potential growth of the acquired assets or business. We sometimes are a little bit on the conservative side, the seller is on the or more optimistic side, and the way to bridge between these two approaches is to agree on some earn-outs over by when they are paid out upon reaching some business goals. This is something that we see happening for quite often in the business, in our business, in our acquisitions. We see that in other companies as well. So, maybe this has happened at a more material numbers this year. But back to your question, I would expect these things to happen in the future, maybe not at the magnitude that has impacted 2017.
Okay. Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Machlis to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available 2 hours after the conference ends. In the U.S., please call 1-888-326-9310. In Israel, please call 03-925-5904. And internationally, please call 972-3-925-5904. A replay of this call will also be available at the company's website at www.elbitsystems.com. Mr. Machlis, would you like to make your concluding statement?
I would like to thank all our employees for the continued hard work. To everyone on the call, thank you for joining us today and for your continued support and interest in our company. Have a good day and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Elbit Systems Ltd. fourth quarter 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.